The following content is rated M for mature.
Welcome to the Dragon Fisters podcast. Don't worry, we'll be gentle.
This is the Dragon Fisters actual play podcast, episode 198. Last time, our group navigated themselves from the outer edges of the plain towards the inner circle of the pillared mountains, now finding themselves in a bit of a demonic predicament. Now, before we figure out which member of the party this demon will send tumbling off the side of the mountain into the forever depths of the abyss, let's go ahead and do some intros.
I'm Al, and I play Marmalek the Scholar.
Hi, this is John. I play Leopold Hardwick.
This is Dave, and I play Dorian Almax.
This is John, and I'll be playing Galen Brandybine.
This is Jesse, and I'm your Game Master.
And now, let's get back to the gameplay.
So he kind of, jabs forward with the points on the staff, and you're very easily able to kind of just step out of the way a little bit. At this point in time, why don't you guys go ahead and roll me initiative?
Yay!
Yay!
No, not yay!
Murder!
Ugh, suck.
I have 17.
Not bad.
13 for Dorian.
Ooh.
19 for Marm.
Whoa. And
24 for Leo.
Nice.
Why couldn't I get this roll when I attacked him?
Right. What did Dorian get, 14?
13.
13, all right. And what was Marmalek again?
19.
19. All right. First up, not surprising, is going to be Leo.
All right. How wide are the stairs?
About 4 feet.
About 4 feet, all right. Alright, so glancing back over my shoulder, how close is everybody else behind me? Is Galen right behind me, or is there a couple of feet?
5-10 feet. I mean, we're all just booking it, so.
Alright, yeah, and he's got little legs. So so I got a little out of him. I'm going to 5 foot shift back.
Okay.
And pluck 2 arrows at the thing in front of me.
Ooh, multi-shot?
Rapid shot.
Ooh, okay. Very nice.
So I take a -2 to my attack, but
that's fine.
Whatever. All right, so first one is going to be a 21.
That will hit.
For 10 damage.
All right.
And then the second one is going to be probably a miss, 14.
That will miss, yes.
Oh, no, wait, sorry, 16.
That will still miss.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I figured.
All right, so yeah, your first one manages to hit him right in the shoulder, but the second one is kind of more so a graze and doesn't manage to actually do anything.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
All right, next up, Marmalek.
All right, how close is the goat head demon?
You're in the back of the pack right now.
Yes.
So he's probably a good 20 feet away from you.
20 feet away, okay.
And kind of only just now coming into view as he's charged up to Leo.
Okay. Marm is going to 5 foot shift up a little bit closer.
Okay. Well, you do have Dorian right in front of you.
Okay. So I can't move forward at all, basically?
Well, if you wanted to be further away to shift up, you would have been about 25, 30 feet away. So.
Okay. never mind.
I'll let you be as close as you want, but you can't be closer than 20 feet.
Okay. Well then, he will just, Marm will, kind of make a fist, palm facing inward, mm-hmm. and kind of press it to, his chest, and, utter, Viljum Zegel Inald. And, you'll see this, kind of greenish blue, aura penetrate out from his chest, around him, and just kind of shimmer there for a second and then disappear. And for the next minute, I have an additional 4 to my AC.
Wow, nice.
Oh, yay.
Not bad.
And that was a standard action. So at this point, can I look at the demon and do I know what it is or what kind of maybe what kind of weaknesses I could initially perceive on it.
Sure, go ahead and give me a planes check.
Planes check. Oh no, I rolled low. 22.
All right, I'll send you a link real quick, but I'll just tell you as well. It is a sheer demon. S-C-H-I-R. Okay. It is it's immune to electricity and poison. It is fairly hardy. They are fairly solitary creatures, pretty low on the chain. You do know though that they do have a weakness for much like any demon. It does have a weakness to cold iron.
Cold iron. All right.
Other than that, that's really their only fault. Other than kind of being stupid.
Fair enough. Okay. So Marm will just yell out, it's kind of like the last one. It just doesn't fly. So not quite as bad. Just be careful. And that'll be his turn.
All right, next up then will be Galen.
All right, I'm assuming I didn't have any weapons out or anything.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you could if you wanted to. You guys are in a pretty iffy situation right now.
Well, but I was helping Dorian out by grabbing shit from in front of him, moving stuff around, so...
There you go.
We'll say they didn't. So this thing's probably about 10 feet away from me?
Yep.
And the path is just wide enough for the demon?
No, I mean, like I said, it is 4 feet away. I mean, 4 feet wide. Okay. So you can, you could maneuver around Leo if you wanted to get up to it or not.
And how tall is the thing?
They're pretty tall. It's probably about a good 6'8", 6'9", and it weighs in at probably easily around 300 pounds.
Could I run towards it? What I'm thinking, kind of what I want to do is kind of like run up the side of the wall,
mm-hmm.
kind of like, you know, kind of kick off, get behind it, and as I'm running, draw the rapier and then stab it.
Go ahead and give me an acrobatics check.
All right. Let's see, I rolled a 14. That's where those skills are going the wrong way. So 22?
Yeah, that'll do it.
And what I'll do, well, I guess it doesn't matter then.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say I'll use the ability on the boots then to, where the hell is it? 3 times per day is a swift action, if I have it. The wearer can make the boots smoke, which grants him or her concealment until the end of her next turn.
Nice. I'll totally, I mean, you're going to be in melee with this thing, so.
Okay.
Every little bit helps.
Sweet.
Yeah. So why don't you go ahead and give this a brief reenactment with boots included.
All right.
Exactly what he's pulling off here.
All right. So the demon comes down and takes a big swing at Leo. Leo retaliates, shoots a couple arrows at it. Galen kind of ducks down to the left, draws his rapier out, runs almost directly at Leo and then just kind of jukes and like jumps up onto the wall and kind of like does a spin as he's running. The boots start to smoke, so now there's a little cloud of smoke in the area there. It's kind of low to the ground because Galen's kind of small anyway. And he kicks off, and as he's coming down behind the demon, he lashes out and tries to stab it in the neck.
Go ahead.
All right. I fumbled, but a lot of fate spin.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to, yeah. And I get a plus two to that with the strong comeback. The new feat. Fuck that die. So as he reaches out, he sees at the last minute he's going to completely whiff and fall on his face and kind of twists the other way. Rolls a 14. Plus 9 is 23.
Wow, that'll do it.
Sweet. So d6 plus 4. That is going to be 9 damage.
Nice. All right. So that is that's basically move minor action.
I think that's the whole thing, yeah. That's
literally all you can do. All right. In that case, now we have Dorian.
How far away is he from me?
About 15 feet.
Okay.
You have Galen behind him.
Yes.
And there is that space in between Leo and the demon.
That's exactly what I'm looking for.
Yeah, because Leo did 5 foot shift back.
Yes. So basically, I'm going to run up past Leo and take position right in front of this thing.
Very nice.
And I'm going to take a swing at it with my Marrow Cracker.
Oh.
For a 25?
Yes.
Excellent. That is 9 points of damage.
Oh, not bad. And there's nothing special about Marrow Cracker?
Only if I confirm crit against a corporeal creature with a skeletal system.
Okay, cool. all right, so that is move action. Anything else that you would like to do?
I believe that would be it.
All right, very nice. In that case, it is going to be this guy's turn. And now he is kind of caught between a rock and a hard place and a tiny person. and a sheer cliff, so there's really not much that he can do. So at this point, he's kind of fighting for his life. So he's going to do what any demon would do when fighting for his life and try to attack the tiniest thing possible. So he's going to kind of spin around slightly and try to grab Galen with his spiky halberd. And that will be an 18 AC.
18 is going to whiff.
Oh, geez, nice. All right. So you're nice and dexterous and tiny.
He swings a little bit higher than he thought I was.
Nice. It was hard to judge exactly how tall you were. And another one, he's actually going to take his horns and try to kind of ram them towards you, no pun intended. but a 12 is definitely going to miss you.
Definitely going to miss.
Yeah.
He's got to bend too far down.
Yeah, he's just kind of scared at this point and in defensive mode and just kind of trying to keep you at bay by swinging you around as much as possible and trying to make himself appear all big and tough, but it's really not working, apparently. All right, we're going to go back up to Leo then.
All right, so since Dorian's standing right in front of me, awesome.
Yes.
I'm going to do something probably stupid, but just whatever. You. I'm going to try to, like... Actually, no, not really. Never mind. I'm just going to kind of, like, shift to the right a little bit to actually be able to shoot around Dorian at this thing.
All right.
And pop off 2 more arrows at him. The first one being... do we confirm crit in this campaign?
Nope, go ahead.
Okay, so I crit.
Wow, okay.
With the first shot... so that's 26 damage.
Oh, jeez.
And then for my second one, I got 20.
And that will hit as well.
All right, so that, and that is another 6 damage on top of it.
Oh, nice. All right. So basically, this guy right now, you know, he's, you know, almost spinning in circles at this point. You know, he's tried to follow Galen around, and there's the big spiral of smoke that kind of caught him off guard, and now he has this tiny thing behind him, and then Dorian rushes up to him, and he's all, you know, trying to protect himself that way, not really doing a good job. And then Galen manages to stab him a couple of times, and he spins around, and he's trying to stab at Galen now, and then all of a sudden one of your arrows just finds right in the right below the ribs and just slams into him. And you can see that it goes probably a good 6 or 7 inches deep in terms of the shaft. And that just shoves right down. And then the second one comes up and hits him right in the back too. And that one just, you know, at this point, he almost leans down and he's like almost halfway down onto a knee. And, you know, the wounds on his back are just dripping, almost rivers of blood coming down at this point.
Woo!
Marmalek.
All right, so Dorian had moved up.
Yeah, so that puts a good 5 or so feet in between you and Leo at this point.
Okay. I'm going to 5-foot shift up, and then as a standard action, teleport to the opposite side of the demon. Okay. Using the black boots of teleportation.
Ooh, all right.
And so Marm just kind of flickers out of existence and back into existence on the opposite side of this guy, and then just whacks him with his staff.
All right.
Or a complete miss.
Yep. What kind of miss?
3.
Oh, yeah, that's a horrible miss.
Yeah. Not, you know, not completely, you know, the worst. Right. it's pretty bad.
Well, you don't like being in front of people. And well, especially actually, now you've realized that he is a lot bigger than you probably thought he was.
Well, I mean, actually, technically, I rolled a 14 with my plus 11, but whatever. would I be considered flanking him? So that would be a 16, maybe?
Actually, yes, you are flanking him.
So that's 16 hit?
Still won't hit.
I figured as much. All right.
Very nice. Anything else that you will be doing?
5-foot shift a little bit further up.
Okay. The,
I think to get a little
bit. A little bit behind Galen.
Exactly.
Very nice. All right. Speaking of Galen,
I will attempt to stab tabulate him again.
Do it.
roll a 17 plus. Flank is 28.
Yeah, that'll definitely do it.
That is going to be max damage, 10.
Whoa, nice. In that case, have at it.
Ah, sweet. So he spins around and takes a big hack with the glaive or whatever it was, the polearm, and it just chinks off the rock. And he gets all pissed off, and he kind of leans his head down, and he kind of, like, you know, to the left and to the right, trying to skewer me, and he just kind of, like, nimbly dances out of the way. And while his head is down, 2 arrows come in, one hits him in the rib. He howls out and starts screaming, and he just kind of shifts over a little bit and just, with the rapier, straight right through the neck.
Ooh, nice. Now that he's knelt down slightly, and he's at Galen's level.
Exactly. So he falls to his knees, and his horns kind of come out and kind of hits the rock wall, and he kind of hangs there for a second and then just sort of slumps the rest of the way.
Nice. Good job, guys. And all right, I'm guessing you're probably not going to, like, stick around and celebrate your victory.
No, let's keep going.
Nice. Well, if you think about it, that was only like 10 seconds. So, mm-hmm. All right. So, you can ask that in game if you want, Bessie.
Okay. so, I didn't. I don't. Whatever. Shut up. As I'm kind of walking by him,
mm-hmm.
do I notice, is he dead or just, like, unconscious?
What would you prefer?
The truth?
well, no, because, technically creatures die once they get into negatives, but I could, he's only at, -4 hit points right now, so he could be unconscious.
All right,
on his way to death. How's that?
For that thing that we had talked about with my sword?
I don't remember.
Just forget it.
How about you do what you want to do and then fill me in. You do the RP of what you want to do.
Okay.
And then mechanically or behind the RP, fill me in a little bit later.
All right. So as Leo goes to like walk past him as we like make our way up the stairs, suddenly, without even like thinking about it, he just pulls his sword out and like stabs through, like right through the chest, straight into that creature's heart.
Oh, it's dead!
And then he kind of like looks at the sword and like lifts it up, and the four of you hear the sword chant in this very almost like airy kind of. It almost sounds like if a bird was talking. But actual words. And it just kind of gives like this quick like 4-word thing, and Leo just kind of like looks at it and he's like, "The Raven Queen. Did you guys catch that?"
No.
Huh. I don't even know why I did that. That just kind of...
Maybe you should put the sword away for now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think it's going to hurt us. I mean, it just said, "In the glory of the Raven Queen," as it stabbed.
Is that what that was?
Do you not speak common anymore?
I was shocked. I mean, I killed it, and then you're standing there stabbing it. We got to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and I'm just going to kind of like give like a half bow to the dead corpse and then sheath the sword and keep walking up the stairs.
All right. Cool. So you guys begin to huck your way up the stairs then?
Sure.
And all right, there is at this point you run for quite a bit of time. There's really nowhere to settle down. You're on a staircase, and besides, stopping might mean death. So, why don't you guys go ahead and give me some fortitude checks? Just one each, but
18.
Make that 2 18s.
Will fortitude, the feat, actually play a role in this?
Sure.
26.
Nice.
Will endurance, the feat, play into this at all?
I'm sorry, endurance, not fortitude.
I figured.
So 16 for Leo.
Nice. All right. So it has been quite a bit of time since you guys first began your trek after setting camp, but you're kind of amped up on adrenaline right now, and your blood's pumping, and plus you're like, I don't want to get stabbed again by a demon, so you just keep running at this point. And so you guys run for quite a few hours, spiraling your way up at enough of a clip that occasionally you kind of start to get a little dizzy, but at any rate, you guys do finally see the plateau at the top of the mountain, probably about a quarter mile or so up once it starts to kind of break through the fog slightly. And you do spiral up, 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 and eventually the top of the staircase evens out with the top of the mountain. And now before you, floating up above the mountain, probably about 100 or so feet above from where you are, is this gigantic sphere. This thing, now the top of the platform, the top of the mountain itself, is probably, it's somewhat narrow, so it's probably about 75, 80 feet wide. The sphere is probably about 50 or so feet wide. Giant. It is almost completely black. However, you can see that either it still has some semblance of the color, or, you know, it's inherent just in whatever material this orb is made out of. But there's a slight hint, almost callback to it, at one point in time being gold. So you can see this slight golden hue within this dark, unlit orb.
I'm going to turn to Dorian and go, I think you're up.
I want to take a look around. Is there anyone around the orb or near it? Or are we the only ones up there with this thing?
Yeah, it is completely empty and almost perfectly flat.
All right, I'm going to look at... I'm not even going to look at Leo because I'm going to be staring at this thing and just kind of say to him, I guess so. At which point, I'm going to start walking forward. Maybe, like, not too far ahead of the others, maybe like 10 or 15 feet. And I'm actually going to start speaking in Celestial.
Okay.
So obviously you guys won't have any idea what I'm saying, but for anyone that does understand the language, it'll be something along the lines of, my name is Dorian Almax, Cleric of Pelor. I seek the one known as Corin, the chosen champion of the Sun God. Come forth so that I may know you.
And all you hear is the continued slight bellowing of the wind blowing across the steep.
Yeah, so nothing happens, and I'm going to kind of look at the sphere again. You say it's like, it's been like blackened by something, or just like, is something like, it looks like it's affecting it, or just like...
It almost looks like a light bulb that's been turned off.
Huh.
So you know how like if you have a colored bulb,
mm-hmm.
that when it's not lit, it only has a hint of what color it might be.
Right.
That's kind of what it looks like, except this is, it's not hollow, or at least it doesn't look hollow. So mm-hmm. it's because of that, because there's no light at all getting through it, it looks much darker.
All right. And how high up did you say it was?
About 100 feet.
Okay. I'm going to look over my shoulder at the others. Well, I have never seen anything like this before, but I have a feeling that maybe Corin is actually inside of that sphere.
So, do we need to break it?
It's a good possibility, but I mean, I'm guessing at this point. For all I know, you guys were right, and maybe Corin's already gone.
Can you heal it? I mean, does it need to... I mean, will something like that work?
If I could reach it, I could. But unfortunately, in order for me to be able to heal, I need to either be able to touch it, or it needs to be within the range of my burst of light, and that's way far off.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, the only thing I could do from here is to use fire on it.
Well, if Pelor's the god of light and fire, that thing's kind of dark and not fire. Set it on fire.
I guess we can give it a shot. At which point, I'm going to actually strap Marrow Cracker back to my hip, and I'm going to hold my hand out and cast Produce Flame, so my hand is surrounded by fire, and I'm actually holding on to fire as well. Shut up, Kira. and I'm actually going to use it to throw a fireball at the sphere.
Okay, so you reach back and you huck this small sphere of fire as far as you can and as hard as you can, and it goes flying and connects to the sphere. It's almost impossible to actually miss the sphere. So.
Yeah.
So as it hits, the flame bursts slightly from impact and then just dissipates.
And it has no effect on the sphere whatsoever?
Basically.
Leo, would you mind terribly parting with one of your arrows?
No. Do you want me to shoot it?
Yes, but before you do that, let me illuminate it.
All right. I'm going to knock an arrow and just kind of hold out the tip to him.
I'm going to stand from the side because... Oh, you're just knocking it. You haven't actually drawn it.
No, I haven't drawn it, but I'm not that much of a dick.
Yeah,
I haven't drawn it. I am, but not right now.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to touch the arrow and cast light on it so the entire thing is illuminated.
Okay.
Yeah, give it a shot. See what happens.
And I'm going to... Literally. Yes. I'm gonna draw back and I'm going to let loose.
Okay. And so your arrow flies and straight... right into the sphere, and as soon as it makes contact, you can see that the arrow basically snaps into a few pieces, and the light goes out.
Jesus.
Do you have to touch something to cast light on it?
Yes. Actually, let me double check that.
Galen kind of runs back over towards the top of the steps, looks down, looks back at them, looks down, looks back at them, and says, we need to come up with something quick here, guys.
Yeah, out of character, yes you do. Marmalek, did the books you read tell you anything about, you know, the condition of the Guardians, you know, how to, you know, bring them forward or even to how to unlock the pillars themselves?
I may have read something. Jesse?
Give me a religion check.
Religion? Uh-oh. 18.
18. All right. I will answer to the best of my ability one question. I will allow you to pull one piece of information. What would you like that to be?
Well, do we want a fate spin?
You could.
That works.
Okay. So you're... You know, you look over and you're like, and they're asking, what do you know? And I'm like, hey, what about this in the library? And what about that in the library? And we were looking at this thing and then the other thing, and you were telling me about the stuff.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry, I was thinking about something else. I was thinking about blood and burning.
Wait, what?
Sorry. That'll be a 32.
That wow. Nice. Okay, that is much better.
That's the Marmalek we all know and love.
I rolled a 3 the first time.
Nice. All right. So in terms of the Guardians themselves, there's no real information of sorts. At least it's all kind of vague and lore like. So all you know is that they protect the gates, and that they basically protect the spot, the pillar of sorts. You know, they protect the connection between the two planes. In terms of the second part, didn't you ask something about how to, what was the wording you used again, Dave?
Like, what state the Guardians were in, how to summon them forth, or
okay,
like even if they were still around.
Okay. So in terms of summoning of sorts, the one thing that does kind of ring is that, and this is pretty deep in your knowledge, and even then it's only kind of circumstantial at best, is it's probably not information that a moth wanted out particularly, but there is mention that you can open the gates and you can get through the portal with a key.
Okay.
The key is probably a token of sorts. Something that has a connection, a very deep connection to the deity, to the champion, not necessarily to the champion, but to the deity whom the champion works under.
OK.
Okay. So it would be a very powerful object. Well, at least you know what I'm going.
So, Dorian, do you by chance have anything that would be a token of Paylor?
No, we all woke up naked, if you remember. Everything I have with me was gifted to me by the Raven Queen. Why do you ask?
Well, you see, from what I'm vaguely remembering from my readings, it's, we should possibly be able to open the gate or the portal with a key, another key, but it's all dependent on the key being a token of the deity. So for this one, it would be Paylor. So we would have to find a token.
Well then, I guess you have one right here. The token, the only connection that we have to Paylor is me personally.
Yeah, but how the hell are we going to get you 100 feet up?
That's a good question. Does it say we have to make... the key has to make contact with the orb, or...?
I don't really remember. Let me think about it. Jesse, any more detail?
No, like I said, it's all pretty lore-like. So, okay. It doesn't... There's no specifics on the ceremony behind it.
Okay. No, Dorian, I'm not really positive. Everything I read was really vague, and almost it seemed like it had been passed down quite a few times.
We're not standing directly beneath the sphere, are we?
I mean, the sphere, like I said, the top of the mountain is only about 70 to 80 feet wide, and the sphere itself is 50. So you're pretty much standing under it no matter where you go.
All right. I'm actually going to walk out to where I think is, like, directly under the sphere.
Okay. Like dead center.
Yeah. Right. And I'm going to look back up at it and start speaking in Celestial again.
Okay.
I am Dorian Almax, Cleric of Paylor. The last Cleric of Paylor. If you release Corrin, I gladly give myself as payment.
And still again, nothing but the occasional howl of a wind blowing by.
God damn it.
Maybe we should cut off one of your fingers and I'll shoot it up to it.
And I'm going to just kind of like glance over at Leo.
What? I can't shoot all of you up to it.
Maybe there's a way to bring the sphere down, then.
Does anybody have any rope?
No.
You said the ground is, like, basically perfectly smooth, right?
Yep.
There's no, like, markings or anything like that?
Go ahead and give me a perception check.
All right, not bad. A 21.
All right, so you do indeed, as you're kind of searching around, you're kind of looking at the ground a little bit, and it's hard to see because it is quite, I wouldn't say large, but the symbol itself, the etching is probably a good 8 or so feet wide. And you actually do see that there is a carving on the ground, though it is very kind of worn and dust-covered. And it is the symbol of a face, very elderly face, with this very ornamental filigree around it that is the emblem of a sun.
Uh-huh.
However, along with this, there has been kind of a very crude couple of lines that have been dragged through the symbol, creating, disturbing it almost, and altering it slightly.
Okay. In that case, then, I want to kneel down where this symbol is,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to touch the ground on it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to cast Shape Stone.
Okay.
And I want to make the face more pronounced while simultaneously erasing the drag marks from it.
Okay.
And that's what I shall do.
All right. And you attempt to. However, when you try to shape the stone, you can feel it almost fighting back against you.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So am I struggling against it currently, or it won't budge?
Yeah, so you actually, normally this is fairly easy for you and the stone bends to your will.
Mm-hmm.
However, you originally reach down and you plant your hand and you attempt to move it, and you can actually feel the earth pushing back and it stays where it is.
Marmalek, come here.
Yes, Dorian, what's up?
Do you see this symbol here on the ground?
And I'm going to look. Yes, I do.
It's
real quick. Al?
Yes.
Go ahead and give me a perception check.
And... 23.
All right. I'm going to give this to you.
Uh-oh.
And so you can feel free to, Dorian, basically, he's pointing out to you the symbol on the ground and, the sun that he has seen. And, he's showing you this symbol. However, this is what you see. You see the kind of the bigger picture almost.
Okay. And does it remind me of anything?
Go ahead and give me a religion check.
24.
All right. So it actually does, and it's something of your new teaching, something that you learned in the library, actually. And, it reminds you of the symbol of Arathis.
Arathis. Okay. Why am I drawing a blank on Arathis?
I don't know. Probably because it was something that was never in your original studies.
Okay, that works.
There you go.
So, let's see. Well, Dorian, do you see the way that the sun is outlined? And it looks almost like a cog. I don't actually think that this is the symbol of Arathis.
No, you're mistaken. This is the symbol of Pelor. I know this symbol anywhere. I grew up with this symbol. I've lived the life of centuries long of worshiping the god of this symbol. I would recognize it anywhere.
But you see the lines that break it into a horizon, the lines going through it.
Yes.
That is one of the defining factors of the Arathis' symbol. She's also a goddess of light, so to speak. She's from the bright city, but this isn't Pelor's symbol.
Jesse, am I seeing what he's trying to describe, or do I literally just see drag marks through the symbol of Pelor?
I don't know. Do you point out the rest of the surrounding image, Al, or?
I do.
Okay, yeah. So once he kind of points out, Dorian saw the image of Pelor.
Yes.
Right, and that is in fact the symbol of Pelor. However, now that you kind of look, Marm points out the rest of this to you, and you in fact do see now that the sun is surrounded by this cog-like circle, and that the line does kind of stretch through the entire sun. So now you kind of get this bigger picture. So in fact, it is this symbol of Arrakis that has almost been drawn or etched over the symbol of Pelor.
All right. I don't understand. Why would Arrakis have done this?
Maybe it was because Pelor passed and they needed to find a new champion who was still strong enough to maintain the seal.
Pelor's passing would not have affected Corrin. I was unaffected by it. I still had the ability to use the light. I don't understand. Like, did Arrakis put Corrin in that sphere? I've tried to make the symbol more pronounced with, you know, my ability to shape stone, but I've never encountered this before. It's actually like the stone itself is fighting against me.
I've never tried to work with stone before.
There's clearly magic at work here.
There is.
And can you tell what this is exactly? Is there a way to undo it so that, you know, we can actually speak with Corrin? Do we have to go to Arrakis herself?
Jesse, in Marm's readings, would he have come upon anything stating that one deity would take over for another if something happened? Or was there anything along the lines of succession in responsibility?
There is no specifically in regards to the gates, there is no mention of that. However, in the grander scheme of things, gods are mortal-ish. You know, a god can kill a god, so gods can die, and they have before in the past in great numbers. And so there has been succession in the past of domains in such changing hands as one deity passes another, either is volunteered to take over, is placed within the role, or takes it by force. So there is history of one deity taking over for a next in his passing.
Okay. Well, Dorian, I can't say for sure. But it's not unheard of. Now, when it comes to how we're going to gain access to this portal, do any of us have any ties to Arrakis? Or,
last I checked, you three were all whatevers of the Raven Queen.
Hell, yes. I don't even know who the hell Arrakis is.
Yeah, Morm can't really help you with that. Do we know, is there a pillar or temple to Arrakis here? Do we have to go to that one first and, like, unlock that one before this one?
Good question. So, Jesse, so for the other pillars, right now we're at the north one for Corrin.
Mm-hmm. Out of character, I can't remember.
Yeah. I'm trying to. Lithia is south. Champion is Weejas. Or is that backwards? I'm not sure.
No. Oh, so I'll tell you the correct order, the correct ones, because I know there's a couple of lists that have been floating around. And I know that the link that I had sent you, Al, was incorrect. The forum post.
Mm-hmm.
So that one was incorrect, but the one that was in the crib sheet was correct. So I'll just go through that list. You had Pelor in the north, Incabulos in the east, Corallon in the west, Istis in the south, and Moradin in the center.
Any chance you could send that via text so I have it?
Yeah, I'll do that now. And now, what was your last religion roll?
Is it 32 or something?
I think so.
Yeah. So I'll just go ahead and tell you ahead of time that just in regards to those specific deities, you obviously know that Pelor is dead. You also know that Incabulos is dead and Istis is dead.
Jesus.
Okay. Incabulos is dead. Istis is dead. Which leaves Moradin and Endrin? Or is that... Sorry.
Corallon.
Corallon, yeah. Okay. So we have to either go to the west or the central pillar.
Well, I can't speak for the other one, but Prince Radari used to be a follower and paladin of Moradin. So, as far as those two are considered, Moradin is probably the closest thing we would have to an ally.
All right. Shall we go to the central pillar then? If we have no ties to Arathis?
But do we actually have a tie to Moradin?
Not that I know of.
But if Moradin's still alive, then that sphere or whatever might still be active, or the champion might still be awake or whatever.
Possibly. I can only think of maybe one or two other things I could try. Maybe I'm not supposed to heal the sphere. Maybe I'm supposed to heal the marking here on this plateau.
Well, it can't hurt, right?
Well, I don't know. It's all I can think of. I mean, we have nothing else to sacrifice. All I have is my gift of the light.
Well, could you cause the image of Pelor to light up with your gift of the light so that it overpowers the image of Arathis?
I don't know. The image of Arathis is on top of Pelor's, and it's already interfered with my magic once, but I can certainly try. I'll use the most potent healing spell that I have and see what happens.
Well, let's see what happens then.
All right. So with that, I'm going to walk back over to the engraving of Pelor, and again, kneel down and place a hand right in the middle of it and like try to focus my healing on the symbol itself.
Okay.
Like trying not to even touch like any part of it that might be like the symbol of Arathis that might be over Pelor's symbol.
Okay.
And I'm actually going to burn a third level spell to cast Cure Serious Wounds on the symbol.
Ooh.
Which would be, let's see, 29 points of healing.
Wow, nice. So basically you kneel down and you close your eyes and plant your hand on the symbol of Pelor. Like you said, being very careful not to touch the symbol of Arathis.
Mm-hmm.
Any of the markings of that. And you close your eyes and you take a deep breath and kind of feel the force come through you into your hand. And this is a much brighter light now that any of you have actually seen come from Dorian yet. And it's almost, you know, pure white and very bright. And it kind of, you know, his hand lights up and you see slight tendrils kind of reach out and reach up, and then it dissipates. And you are left with no change.
You're actually going to hear like Dorian growl a little bit and say, damn it, and just kind of like punch the ground a little bit.
Jesse, would Marm have read anything about possible ways to counter magical spells for things like engravings? Actually, he might.
What's that?
have... Give me a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's just a cipher.
While they're doing that, I'm actually going to walk over to like the top of the staircase.
Okay.
And just kind of keep an eye down it.
I'm pretty sure Galen is over there as well right now.
Yeah,
I think he's getting real fidgety.
Yeah, I think the two of us sitting there with a bow couldn't hurt.
Indeed.
Yeah, I got my crossbow out now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I figure giant bright light might not draw attention.
Well, and then while we're standing there, I kind of yell back to Marmalek, even though Al's researching, say if the Guardian is dead, then what are the devils doing here? I mean, what are they guarding if he's not active or however you call it?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I'm still at a loss right now for why this is the way it is. Again, any of the things that I've read could have been well out of date, though.
Well, I will give you a little insight into the demons. How's that?
Okay.
So after the war, when Amoth was killed, you know, there were demons and such left over from the war that kind of just took up settlement here. So you coming across demons, at least to Marmalek, wasn't a big surprise. And they tended to gather at places of importance. So any structures left over that have still survived throughout the years, you know, anything like any temples they would have taken over. And also these five pillars are, you know, these five mountains are probably the most important thing on the plane itself. So it's no surprise that they gathered at the bases of these. It's probably not in any sort of worship or anything like that, but just a notice that this is an important feature within the plane. So obviously if you own it, then you're powerful. It's probably that sort of thing.
Stupid demons.
I'm trying to remember earlier, did you say that there was some kind of structure at the base of the pillar?
Yeah, well, there was that that fortification that the demons were at.
All right, good to go. I'm going to kind of do like a walk around the top of the pillar just to see if there's anything coming up the staircase.
All right. Go ahead.
Well, when I see the structure, does the structure look old, or is it just something kind of like the demons threw together?
Oh, at this point you can't see it. It's a good, about what I'd say, about 5 miles down. Plus, okay, you're also looking through a couple of layers of fog, so you're lucky if you can see halfway down this thing.
Okay. All right. Good to go. After I do like the once around, I'm gonna go back over to them. I'm gonna be like, "Well, there was that structure at the base of the pillar. Maybe that actually used to be used for people to pray at. Maybe there might actually be something down there, a token that we could bring up."
Yeah, but how many people are surrounding it?
A lot.
So
I don't know. I'm just throwing out ideas. And I'm gonna walk it back over to the top of the stairs. Are there any rocks on top of this pillar? Like even like small things, or is it almost perfectly cleared out?
It's almost perfect, but you can find small pebbles and things like that.
Enough to fill in the gouges. Okay.
No. Like I said, the symbol is, you know, the symbol of Palor is probably about 8 feet wide. But then if you hit the edges of the cogs, you're going probably to a good 11 or 12 foot diameter. So.
All right.
I got nothing.
Well, let's go. How about this? What information have you gathered thus far from being at the top of this mountain?
This is obviously the Northern Pillar.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be controlled by Palor.
Yep.
Who's now gone.
Yes.
Now we have the symbol of Arathis surrounding it.
Correct.
And there's no sign of a guardian, but there is a darkened sphere up in the sky.
Okay.
That had a light golden, I believe, color it was, right?
Correct.
You keep yelling out to Palor. Why don't you yell out to Arathis' champion?
I don't know who Arathis' champion is.
Well, don't name him. Just ask to speak to the champion of Arathis.
Can't hurt to try. I'm going to stand back up full, looking up at the sphere again.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking... You know what? I'll speak in common this time because I don't know if Arathis does Celestial.
Indeed.
My name is Dorian Almax, Cleric of Palor. I seek the guardian and chosen champion of Arathis here at this pillar.
Mm-hmm.
Come forward and make yourself known to me. Really?
God damn it.
I'm doing sound effects now.
Yes, that epic moment in anime where like the guy has the long speech and there's just like the passing breeze.
Exactly.
Yes. Ah, oh, son of a bitch. Okay, so that didn't do shit.
Well.
Okay, so this thing is surrounded by demons for some reason.
What do we know about Arathis? I don't know jack shit. What do you guys know about Arathis?
About the same.
Marm.
Arathis. I know a little bit, but it's not on the. Okay, Jesse, what do I know about Arathis?
You can know as much as you want, but I will give you this to go off of if you would like. Okay, here you go. Have at it.
The fucking Wicca. It's really Wikipedia. This is great. Okay.
Yeah, it was just on that page.
You basically just need the basics.
Yeah.
Do you want kind of the high points? Or are you actually reading over this?
I'm just really quickly reading over it.
Okay. Pretty much everything you need is probably going to be within that first paragraph of the history, specifically the third sentence.
One,
and the fourth.
Two. Uh-huh. Okay. when was the last time you said you had talked to Palor, Dorian?
In person?
Or ever, yes.
Well, when I was with him in Elysium, we spoke directly. But I haven't been in communication with him through prayer since we first went to the material plane. And according to what we discovered, that was, I guess 90 years ago.
Okay. Well, when you were in contact with him, did he have much contact with Arathis?
I never bothered asking Palor about his works with the other gods. My sole responsibility was to Elysium and to prepare for this mission. But I'm assuming that any god who was an ally of Palor would have been at least in some contact with him.
Okay, because I'm remembering vaguely something about Arathis and Palor. As well as Eon. Have you heard of the city of Estivar?
Yes, I have. Not only did they make mention of it when we were studying, but I know it to be the city of light as well.
Exactly. Apparently, that's where Palor as well as Arathis were at one point, at least. So they joined forces, which would make sense when we look down at the ground. So they have come together, is what it seems. So how would we get in touch with either of them?
The only way I know how, without actually being within their realm and facing them, is prayer.
So pray.
So be it. I'll try. At which point I'm going to kneel down, put my hands together in prayer, eyes closed, head slightly bowed, and I shall begin praying.
All right. And what will your prayer be?
I will speak to the light in general to guide my thoughts and my spirit towards Hestivar and to bring me in contact with whatever deity of the light, be it Arathis or otherwise, is listening and willing to hear my prayer.
Okay. So go ahead and give me a prayer that would get the attention of the deity of light.
I am Dorian Almax, cleric of the lost sun god Pelor. I speak through the light to any who would listen. My allies and I stand upon the pillar where the once champion Corrin used to protect. I seek now the aid of whoever is listening to call him forward and unlock this pillar, to summon him so that the light may radiate once again.
What does your cleric works off of charisma?
More so wisdom, but charisma, okay. Yes.
Whichever one you would like, whichever you believe is more in touch with your clericness.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead and give me a roll.
All right. That will be a 19.
All right. So you close your eyes, and as you're kind of going over this prayer, and you kind of feel, you know how when you have your eyes closed and someone shines a flashlight in front of your face?
Uh-huh.
You kind of see the light. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what happens to you. But you feel compelled to keep your eyes shut.
Okay.
And you hear a slight echo, and then it becomes a little clear, and soon you hear the voice. And she reaches out to you and says, "Yes, Guardian of the Light, what can I do?"
"My friends and I are here to seek the Guardian, Corrin, chosen champion of Pelor. However, he is not here before us, and the symbol of Pelor is now surrounded and protected by yours. And before us in the sky hovers a darkened orb that appears to have once possessed a golden hue. And upon this plateau, we have no way of knowing where our path will lead us next. And I seek your guidance and your aid as much as you are able to provide."
"Blessed be the life of Pelor. Though his light has appeared to go out, I can feel it great within you. Corrin is the guardian of the gate that you speak of, and he was the champion of Pelor. However, Pelor's mantle has now been passed down to me, and so Corrin's connection, though his heart is with Pelor, as I can see that yours is, his connection now is with myself."
"Then, if the once champion of Pelor has joined with you, then I ask if you would look upon me and gaze into my soul and judge me that I might be worthy to be allied once more with the champion of Pelor and to be a named cleric of the light once again through a living god."
"While I have no doubts that your faith is strong, and as much as I would wish to help you in this immediate time, to bestow such a thing upon you is beyond my power. The gates are of a magic much older than mine. And we have tried for quite a time to open them. However, I have not been able to post necessary towards the gate. And so my hands have not been able to touch. Unfortunately, it is not something that I would be able to help you with right here from my position.
Does Corin still dwell atop this mountain?
He does, though my connection is not strong and I cannot communicate with him as Paylor had. I can still feel him, and his essence still lies within the gate.
My learned friend spoke of a key, what that which has a connection to both the guardian and the deity that is tied to this place. If it is within me to make this sacrifice and form this key with this gate, will you please explain how I may do that?
That I do not know. I was never given a key or any such object from Paylor when I took his mantle.
There are demons that surround this mountain all along its base, and my friend, whose eyes are most keen, has seen what appears to be a temple or a shrine. Do you know if there is anything that resides in there that may be of assistance to us, that may help us with calling forth Corin?
The war that destroyed that plane, anything that has been left over has now been perverted and twisted to the demons and to the will of Orcus. So any such powers or being that had been left over from Amoth or Paylor or any of the other gods has now vanished completely.
Then perhaps that is what we must seek. Perhaps the reason why you cannot communicate with Corin is that he has been sealed away by whatever power these demons possess, and that may explain why the golden hue this sphere once possessed is now darkened.
The keeper of the gates, Amoth, was the only one that knew how to keep them alight and act as a beacon. With his passing, no one knew how to keep them surviving. So I'm afraid without his words, that is why the spheres eventually died.
So then we will find the same thing at any pillar we approach.
That is quite possible, yes. Your only hope is to figure out a way to relight the gates.
And we will not know that without the wisdom of Amon. Arathis, thank you for your wisdom and your guidance.
It is my pleasure. Any champion of Paylor that is still in existence deserves such respect, and I only wish that I would be able to help you further.
Perhaps someday, when I have learned more. But for now, my friends and I must continue, and when I am able, if you would still hear my prayers, I will come to you when we have learned more.
Of course.
May the light be with you, Arathis.
And with you, Guardian.
And with that, I'm going to lift my head slowly, opening my eyes and just dropping my hands to my side and let out this, like, long-winded sigh.
Okay.
Could we hear what was going on, or is he essentially kind of talking to himself, or?
That was pretty much all in my head. You wouldn't have heard anything from me.
Oh, okay.
But basically, I would have been sitting there for a very long time, and, like, any effort you guys would have made to, like, talk to me or touch me or whatever, I would have ignored completely.
Yeah, I didn't.
So I just lean over to Leo and I go, what the hell is he doing? Like, there's demons and shit down there? Like, he's just hanging out?
You've been around him. He prays for like an hour at a time. This is
but is this appropriate? I mean, now?
Yeah, there's no demons around now. Nobody knows that we came up.
Well, I guess.
Hopefully you actually learn something.
And while you guys are talking, I'm actually slowly getting to my feet and standing up.
Speaking of, you learn anything?
I was able to speak with Arathis directly.
Oh, no shit.
Yes. She was able to give some information, but unfortunately not enough to give us a direct path with which to follow. Essentially, the condition we found this pillar in and this sphere is what we'll find at anyone that we approach. Apparently, Amon was the only deity that had the knowledge how to keep these spheres alight. Corrin is here on the mountain peak, but it appears that he is somewhere within the gate. And not only is he protecting it from the inside, but he also cannot escape it himself because the spheres themselves are not fully active. So the only way we can reach these guardians is by finding a way to relight the spheres.
All right. Did she give you any tips on how to do that?
All she could tell me was that the only one who knew was Amon himself. He was the keeper of that knowledge, and he never shared that knowledge with anyone.
Just so you don't keep pulling some weird name out of your head, it's a moth.
Oh, sorry, I keep saying Amon.
Yeah.
Isn't that the race I play in Terra?
Yeah.
It is, actually. Son of a bitch. Thank you.
All right, so basically what you're telling me is that one selfish deity kept all the information to himself, and then he died, and now we have no idea what the fuck we're doing.
Essentially.
And you wonder why I have issues. So, all right, well, she didn't have any clues. Nothing?
The only other thing she could tell me, because I did mention about the demons and that temple you mentioned, she said that when Orcus had passed through and, you know, killed Pelor, any old artifacts or objects that might have had a connection to them or the power of Pelor would have been corrupted and perverted by demonic influence. There very well may be objects of power within that temple, but there's no guarantee that it will be of any benefit to us.
Well, if we got one of those, could Arathis, I don't know, re-bless it?
It's possible. I didn't think to ask about that. But for something like that, she herself even admitted that her connection, even to Corrin, is not as strong as Pelor's was. So from this far away, it wouldn't be of any good. We would have to go and see her directly at the City of Light.
You said if there was anything near here that was something of Pelor's, then it would be corrupted by the demons?
Yes, anything that would be connected to Pelor or to Corrin would have been corrupted by demonic influence when Orcus passed.
So, like, the giant sphere that's above us, completely surrounded by demons? Could the sphere itself be corrupted because all the demons are near it?
It's possible, but the way Arathis spoke of it, it is literally just a matter that it's not, you know, I guess for lack of a better way of saying, charged. It hasn't been maintained by its keeper, who would have been a moth. And this is just the natural condition it has fallen into because of that lack of care.
Right. So it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that those gods are dead?
Apparently not. The only thing that's happened with those gods dying is that the guardians that were originally posted there, I guess, are still here because, according to her, Corrin is still here. He just now fights under the mantle of Arathis as opposed to Pelor.
All right, so fuck are we going to do now? We're going to go down, try to fight through the demons to get something out of the temple, and hopefully Arathis can bless it again?
Four against a massive army? Well, like, can we get like a generic head count of how many there actually are?
There were several hundred. Probably approaching 1,000.
So, unless someone is willing to try to sneak in by themselves and use finesse more than force, I don't see that being a possibility.
I'm just going to look over at Galen.
I look behind me.
You're kind of little.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a very good idea at all.
Nah, I'm just fucking with you. I'm not going to make it go through 1,000 demons.
Although, if perhaps there was someone who looked like a demon and might be able to blend in with them, might be able to find out more information that way.
Galen turns and looks at Marmalek.
Come on, Dor. Come on, Dorian. I mean, Leo's not that ugly.
I'm actually going to start speaking like somewhat with like false, you know, whatever. I'm just going to start speaking to Marmalek with my hand on his shoulder. Oh, you're right, Marmalek, but a handsome devil like you, you know, shouldn't have any trouble moving freely among those creatures.
Handsome demon. Thank you very much.
and as he puts his hand on Marm's shoulder, Marm's tail comes out and just slaps his hand. Don't patronize me.
I'm not. Like, compared to some of those guys, you're downright pretty.
Well, the difference between demons and devils is a pretty large chasm to jump.
Well, I'll have to take your word for that, but do you think you could pull it off?
I don't know. Guess I could try.
Well, our only other options, aside from this, is I guess we can head to Hestivar and actually meet up with Arathis and maybe do some more research there. Because according to her, whatever we found here is the exact same thing we're going to find at any of the pillars. So until we can figure out a way to relight these spheres, we're not going to have any luck at any of them.
Would we be able to get to her city of light? I mean,
you are our resident teleportation expert at this point, so you'd have to tell me.
And he sits down and pulls out the book on planar travel.
If this sphere is now one of Arathis's spheres, basically, well, can we just go to Arathis and have her give us some really powerful tokens from her faith and we'll just throw it at it?
According to her, when she assumed the mantle of this pillar, no key was passed on to her. She literally just took over overlooking this one portal and spoke with Corin, bringing him into her fold. But even she has said that her spirit, that Corin's spirit, like mine, will always belong to Pelor. So I guess it's a little mixed up because, you know, here we have a guardian and a pillar that's now tied to two different gods. We don't have a token from one, and we have another one that admittedly doesn't have a token at all.
Well, I mean, does it have to be a specific token? I mean, maybe it just has to be a token of that deity.
We could always ask and see if she wants to provide us with one. But still, we need to figure out a way to get to Hestivar.
Yeah, I'm just going to look over at Marm. Yeah.
And Marm is reading.
So, can we go back through with that key that got us here? I mean, are we going to go back to where we came from, or can we use that key to take us to other places?
I will tell you that with from everything that Marmalek learned, and you guys kind of learned going through the process too, is that that key worked specifically for that portal. And there was no portal when you arrived in Kalendurin.
So it's a one-way ticket.
Kind of a one-way ticket, yeah.
Awesome. That's what a player, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
But that means we can get back here, if we ever leave, at least.
How are we going to get out of here?
Well, that's what we need to figure out now.
Yeah, that's why I'm just letting Mom read his book.
Yeah. How about, it has been quite a long time, and you guys have been up here for a little bit. So I would probably suggest some sort of rest situation.
That works.
I'm not entirely sure you guys would be able to. It will take you several hours, probably a good 3 or 4 hours, to get down the mountain.
Yeah.
And even then, who knows what's waiting for you at the bottom, so.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, Mom's going to be sitting there for...
Who knows how long.
Yeah. Reading anyway, so. Indeed. We'd always just set up a rotation.
It's fine with me.
Somebody's always awake and, you know, all that jazz.
Mm-hmm. That works for me. I get my spells back.
There you go. All right, so you guys are going to kind of set up rotation and allow Marmalek to study and rest.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yep. Very nice. All right, so you guys can set up camp and hopefully something will come to you in the morning.
That'll do it for us this week, but stay tuned next time for more of the Dragon Fisters Actual Play Podcast. Remember to go to thedragonfisters.blogspot.com and click on that Amazon link, and go to audibletrial.com/dragonfisters for your 30-day trial. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter with @dragonfisters, contact us with thedragonfisters@gmail.com, you can like us on Facebook, or you can rate us on iTunes, RPG Podcasts, and Stitcher. And don't forget to head on over to the Points of Interest podcast.com and Legends at Tabletop.com for more audio awesomeness. So until next time, roll 'em high and roll 'em often. This has been a presentation of the Points of Interest Podcast Network, podcasts by geeks, for geeks, and the Legends of Tabletop Network, making legends one die at a time.